Father, I just thank you for today's word. I thank you, Lord, that the Spirit gives life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you empower us to receive your word, that we can receive your word completely, that you'll speak into our hearts. Lord, would you anoint my lips, anoint my mind, my heart, Lord Jesus, just to deliver this word clearly, and we believe it and receive it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Praise God. The person of the the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. So we had last week, Pastor Andy gave a short introduction to the person of the Holy Spirit, and so he gave some background that the beginning of this year we started a series on Christology, who Jesus is. Then we went on to soteriology, what our salvation bought for us, those amazing things. We had a bit of a break over the summer. We went through the summer fruits. And now we're going to go on to another aspect of our salvation experience and about how God has given us His Holy Spirit and how this should actually affect our lives. So we're going to look at some basic questions. Look at some basic questions about Him. First of all, who is He? What does He do? Where does He come from? And what's His purpose? I think those are quite valid questions, aren't they? So who is He? And we notice we say, who is He? Not who or what is it. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's not an it. He's not an impersonal force. He's not an energy. Okay? He's not none of those, but He is a person. So you don't have to just take my word for it, but I'm going to prove to you. Is that okay? I'm going to prove to you that He's a person. We know that He's a person, listen to this, by His pronouns, His purpose, and His personness. I looked that word up. It does exist. His personness. I thought I had personality, and I thought it's not really personality. It's His personness. I like my three P's. So we're going to start with the pronouns. He's a person. Look at John 14, verses 16 to 17. Can you see above this thing here? Is it too high? Is it all right? Can you see? Verses 16 to 17. Jesus says, Jesus' words, He says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it, the world, neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He lives, dwells with you, and will be in you. I think so many times throughout that as well, and He's saying that He'll give you another helper. A person is a helper. I don't know any, yeah, equipment sort of helps do a job, but they're not a helper. The Holy Spirit is another helper, one like the former one. So pronouns, we see He's a person. Purpose, we're going to go back to that same scripture, but we're going to look at it in the Amplified. And it says this, and I will ask the Father, and He will give you another comforter. A comforter. And then the Amplified expounds on that word. That's the parakletos. That's the word for comforter. He's your counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. This is who the Holy Spirit is, that He may remain with you forever. I love that. I love that little add-on there, that He may remain with you forever. So His purpose is to help us, to comfort us, to intercede for us. He makes intercession for us. He's our advocate. He goes before the Father and He pleads our case before the Father. He's our advocate. He says, no, don't judge them. Jesus has already paid the price. They washed in the blood of Jesus. He's our advocate. He pleads our case on our behalf. He's our strengthener. Man, there are times when I so need strengthening. I don't know about anyone else here. I need strengthening. And I don't get strengthened by willpower, or maybe a chocolate bar could help temporarily, you know. But once that sugar wears off, man, it's a bit of a downer. But he's my strengthener. He's my strengthener, my standby. There are other scriptures where it says that he leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us. He guides us into all truth. The other scriptures say that he teaches us, that he comforts, he intercedes, he helps, he infills, he empowers. These are functions that only a person can do. And then the final P is a personness. In other words, he has a mind, a will, and he's got emotions like a person. So we know from various scriptures, I'm not going to throw them out there. We'd be sitting there with loads of scriptures. Just, you can go and look them up in Romans 8. It talks about how the mind of the Spirit, so he's got a mind. The Holy Spirit has a mind. The mind of the Spirit is life and peace. He's got a will. I was reading about it this week in Acts 16 when the Holy Spirit forbade Paul to go and preach in Asia. The Holy Spirit forbade him. The Holy Spirit has a will, and he has emotions. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You know what? When we ignore him, when you have that prompting in the Holy, you know it's God. You know, this isn't just, you know, too much pizza. This is the Holy Spirit. When I've offended somebody, which happens frequently, you know, I'm a work in progress, okay? So forgive me. But then, you know, I have to obey the Holy Spirit, and I have to say, will you forgive me, please? You know, I've wronged. I've said something wrong. But by ignoring him, ignoring that prompting, can grieve the Holy Spirit, because now I'm in conflict and I'm not obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So he can be grieved. He yearns jealously, the Bible says. Isn't that an amazing thought? The Holy Spirit yearns jealously for you. When your attention, when my attention is taken up by stuff, and the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention, he's trying to say, come on, Delia, you know, come on, Chris, come on, Sandy, come on, everybody, before I start naming names, then I go blank, and then I can't remember the person's name, like, oh no, it happens. But he yearns jealously. Let's not ignore him. He's a person. Okay, so we know he's a person, and we know that he's God. He's God, and we know this by his existence, his deity, his attributes, and his outworkings. We know that he is God, his existence. I fell in love with the scripture this week. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Look at this beautiful scripture. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The eternal Spirit. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit, we know he is God by his existence. He's eternal. That word for eternal is aionios. The Greek word is aionios, which means without beginning, without end. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He's always been, and he always will be. There's no end. There's no end to the presence of God, to the Holy Spirit. He's everlasting. He's perpetual. He's age-long. He's not a created being. It wasn't Father God who formed him. He is eternal. He's an eternal Spirit, not a created being. So we know him by his existence, deity. We know that the Holy Spirit is God, but he's not the Father, and he's not the Son. The Bible often, we refer to him as the third person of the Godhead. Not because of order of importance or priority or position, but because of the order of his revealing. You know, we see it in the Great Commission. It's not going to come up on the screen, but we all know we can quote the Great Commission. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So we know that he is God. And he is co-equal with God the Father. He is co-equal with God the Son. And he's of the same essence. He's God, but he's distinct. He has a different function, but he is still God. We read about this account. You remember in the book of Acts with Ananias and Sapphira, when they were selling all, that the church was selling all their stuff and giving it away. And then they came and they laid the money at the feet of the apostles. And Ananias and Sapphira kept some back. And then Paul said to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart that you lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to man, but to God. Wow, nice point, eh? The Holy Spirit is God. And so because he's God, we should reverence him. We're not trying to see how much we can get away with. He doesn't remove his Holy Spirit from us. We can't hide from him. So let's not ignore him, but let's be sensitive to him. Yield to him. So we know he's also God by his attributes. He possesses these attributes of deity. Big words coming up. Okay. Omnipresence, omnipotence, omniscience. Whew. Got those three words out. Those are big words. What do they mean? Omnipresent. He's all present. Psalm 139 says, where can I go from your presence? Where can I go if I fly on the wings of the morning, you are there. If I go to the east, if I go to the west, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, you're there. Darkness and light are the same to you. He's there. When I'm sinning and when I'm a saint, well, not that I become a sinner, but when I'm sinning and when I'm not sinning, he's there. He doesn't remove his presence from us. He's all present. He is everywhere all at once. How does that work? I have no idea. Well, ask Chris, okay, after the service. Ask him. He will give you an expansion on all that. Anyway, so he's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. There's nothing that's too difficult for him. He's all powerful, and everything that he does has purpose. Everything that he does has purpose. He always has a definite goal. I love the presence of God. And he's omniscient. He's all knowing. He's all-knowing. He is never wrong about anything. Got to make sure that what you're hearing is, in fact, the Holy Spirit, okay? Careful of the words. Oh, the Holy Spirit said, are you sure? Does that measure up to the Word of God? Does it measure up to the character of God? But God, the Holy Spirit, is all-knowing. He's never wrong about anything. He knows everything about everything. What's this thing called that you say, Alexa? Yes, we don't have one of those. But you know, it's almost like Alexa, you know, what's the square root of 144? She gives the answer, 12, isn't it? Am I right? Whew. Wow, you see, I didn't even practice that. But Alexa has got nothing on God. You know, Alexa's nothing, but God is all-knowing. Holy Spirit is all-knowing. He knows everything about everything, the past, the present, the future. So, we know that he's God by his existence, his deity, his attributes, and his outworking. We know he's God by what he does. Only the Holy Spirit can create, regenerate, and sanctify. Only the Holy Spirit can do those things. Nothing, nobody else can regenerate. I don't care how scientific people are. They cannot. They cannot create. They can't, you know, they can't, and they cannot sanctify. And so throughout the Word of God, we see the presence of the Holy Spirit. We're going to just see in places where we see him. We see him present in creation. Remember, right at the beginning, Genesis 1. Thanks, Tammy. You're doing great. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. In the beginning, God. God, the Hebrew word there is Elohim, plural, Elohim, God, plural. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were present at creation. So God is one God in three persons. One God, three persons. Three distinct persons, but with the same character. I just love that. The same character. There's no arguments in heaven. You know, it's not like God the Father saying, well, you know, I think we should do X, Y, Z, and then the Holy Spirit, well, I'm not so sure about that. Have you thought about, you know, what about, you know, let's do a little thinking. Let's, you know, it doesn't happen. There's no contradiction. There is no discussion. There's no argument. He is one God, three persons. And I love this. He says, in the beginning, God. God, all three. And God says, Elohim says, let there be light. The next verse goes on, actually, it's not going to come up on the screen. It says, let there be light. And there was light. So when one speaks, they all speak. They all speak. They're in agreement. God, it says, Elohim said, let there be light. All three spoke. Father, Son, total unity, total agreement. And we see in that account of in creation that the earth was without form. It was chaotic. It was a place of chaos, without shape. Sounds like our lives sometimes, eh? Chaos, without shape, undeveloped, desolate, empty. Perfect place for the Holy Spirit to show up. Yay, he gives us so much hope. What happens, you know, I like what the message says, that the earth was a soup of nothingness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. That was God, that's God present at creation where there's nothing. And yet the Holy Spirit was hovering across the darkness. There we find the Holy Spirit of God, the breath of God, the Ruach of God, the Holy Spirit of God hovering over the waters. You might think, but surely in such a place of darkness, that's not where the Holy Spirit would be. Doesn't the Holy Spirit only manifest in church? No, hopefully not. Hopefully you can go home. And what we experienced here this morning, you can go home and experience his very presence. You don't need a worship team. You don't need fancy lights. You don't need a screen. You just need to speak to God. God inhabits the praises of his people. Just start practicing the presence of God in your own lives on a daily basis. Get into the shower. Pray God. Praise. Speak in tongues. Do something. But I tell you what, God manifests his presence in the shower. In the toilet. Really? In such dark places? Yes. He's not put off. Praise God. There's nothing, you know, it's exactly where he's needed. He will never remove his presence from us. I love the sentence. His strong, confident presence brings peace and order. You know, when the Holy Spirit was hovering across that chaos, that darkness, his strong, confident presence brings order out of chaos. Same in our lives. When there's darkness, when there's difficulty, when there's challenges, when there's lack, when there's situations that we are facing, Holy Spirit's there. And we don't go by feelings. We don't go by feelings. We walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. But God turns, the Holy Spirit turns chaos into order. So we see him present in creation. We see him present throughout the Old Testament. I love the scripture in Genesis. Thank you. That's beautiful. I could read it all day. Thank you. Thank you, Temi. Can we have Genesis 2:7, the next verse? We see that the Holy Spirit gives life to humanity. He is the Spirit of life. He is the Spirit of life. I love this. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground." We want a little bit of dust. You know, I really don't. I've got a thing about dust. But, you know, it's got no value. I'm just going to get my duster and dust all the stuff off here. You know, it's got no value. But look what happened. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. The breath of life, the Spirit of God. The breath of God, the Ruach. And man became a living soul. We did not come from swamp gas. We have the breath of God in us. We have the breath of God living in us. Dust has no value, but with God's breath, the Ruach of God, the Spirit of God, we become a living soul of great value, of great worth. We're not animals. We didn't come from monkeys. Monkeys do not have the breath of God. God breathed into man. Not monkey. Okay, no swamp gas. He breathed into man, and man became a living soul. So we see him present in creation, the Old Testament. We see in the Old Testament how the Spirit of God would empower people. But the way the Holy Spirit manifested in the Old Testament is very different to the way how the Holy Spirit manifests present day. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon people, up and on people, and empower them for service or the task, whichever God had in mind for him. And I think of somebody like Samson. We're not going to go there now, but it's in Judges 14. Samson was confronted by a lion. And the Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, up on him. And he tore the lion apart. And I had to underline this morning. As one would have torn apart a young goat. How many people have torn apart a young goat this week? Anybody? No. But anyway, but this is what happened to Samson. That he was confronted with a lion. And the way that any normal human being would tear apart a goat, he was empowered by the Holy Spirit and was able to tear apart a lion by the Holy Spirit. Okay, the Holy Spirit came up and on him. We see it in the life of Gideon. Gideon blew a trumpet. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit to blow a trumpet. You know what? Sometimes we're looking for the spectacular, and God says, "Here's your trumpet, blow." And what happened? 32,000 people followed him, and he was able to overcome the enemy. They followed him into battle. So Gideon, David, oh, bless her. David, when Samuel anointed him as king, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So we see him in the Old Testament. Then we see the Holy Spirit present in the Gospels, in the ministry of Jesus. Oh, I'm going to have a sip of water. Water break. Bless her. Spirit of the Lord, present in the Gospels in the ministry of Jesus. We see from birth that Jesus was conceived by Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. We read about that in Luke's Gospel, Matthew's Gospel. And then we read how Jesus is baptized in water by John the Baptist. And after he is baptized, he comes up out of the water and the Spirit of God descends upon him like a dove. Then in Luke 4, we read about this, that so Jesus has been conceived by the Spirit. He's been water baptized. The Holy Spirit has descended on him like a dove. And then in Luke 4, Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, he came, returned from the Jordan where he had been baptized and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. I could speak on this for about a week, I think. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will lead us into a wilderness. Sometimes he does. That's for another day. But Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. We see in the ministry of Jesus, he's empowered shortly after this. Luke 4:14, we see Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. You know, if the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into a situation, I'm not saying God brings evil into your life, but I'm just saying that sometimes God will allow, he will lead you into a difficult situation at times, okay? At times. But when you cooperate with him through that trial, through that process, he's doing it on purpose in order to strengthen you. He's going to strengthen you. And we see it in the life of Jesus. Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil 40 days and 40 nights. We read this and we think, okay, yeah, 40 days, 40 nights. Hang on, try and do it for 40 days and 40 nights. My word, we'll be dead. But he came out in the power of the Spirit. He came out in the power. And then finally, we see the Holy Spirit in the ministry of Jesus in Romans 8:11, when Jesus is raised by the Spirit from the dead. Oh, and this is the most beautiful scripture. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. What a wonderful scripture. So Jesus went to the cross. He paid the price. He was crucified, buried, raised from the dead. The Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. In the life of Jesus, the Spirit of God was at work all the time in his ministry. So where does that leave us? He's present in the epistles. Before his ascension, Jesus taught on the coming of the Holy Spirit that he would be with man and in man. And we see this on the day of Pentecost, on the birthday of the church, in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. This is one of my favorite scriptures. Acts chapter 2, which says this: when the day of Pentecost had fully come, these are all the disciples, they were all with one accord in one place. They weren't scattered. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole place where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. I hear Reinhard Bonnke's voice and German accent whenever I read this. Hallelujah. Africa will be saved. Hallelujah. One flame for every head. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm preaching myself happy. Anyway, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You know what? I've looked up 60 translations, two different translations of the Bible on this scripture, and it's in all 60 translations, it says that all were filled with the Holy Spirit. Every single translation, it doesn't say some, it says all were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I love this. Can we just keep it up there? It says in verse 2, there came a sound from heaven. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was audible. It was audible. Verse 3, there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire. It was visible. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit was visible. And in verse 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. That's tangible. I remember 33 years ago today, I got born again. 33 years ago today, I got born again. Thank you, Jesus. I remember this like it was yesterday. I got saved. I got delivered. I got set free. Jesus did a work in my life. I got filled with the Holy Spirit. To this day, 33 years later, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's never removed his Holy Spirit from me. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our lives is life-changing. We cannot go on as before. The Holy Spirit changes lives. And we see throughout the book of Acts, just go and read the book of Acts, and we see people's lives being touched, transformed. We see the church being established. We see it being empowered by the Holy Spirit, giving boldness to the believers. Come on, you can go out and witness on the road, on the streets. How come? Because the Holy Spirit empowers us, gives us boldness. Listen to this. And the good news is, nowhere in the Bible does it say the Holy Spirit's been recalled. Okay? There's no expiry date. He's without beginning. He's without end. He has not been recalled. We are living in the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. He is still present with us, amongst us. Listen to this in Romans 8:11 again. We're going to go back to this beautiful scripture. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells, Greek word, oikeo. If the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Him who raised Christ from the dead, dwells, oikeo. Say this after me, oikeo. See, you can speak a little Greek. Okay, that's lesson number one. He dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. Second Greek word. Through His Spirit who dwells. What was the first dwell? Oikeo. Second dwell. En oikeo. En oikeo. Say it. Do you know what that means? Also dwells, but He influences us for good. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't just dwell in us. He influences us. He enoikeos us. You came to church. You learnt a little Greek. Well done. Praise God. But we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. And we've got to understand that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was not God's plan B. It wasn't like Jesus died on the cross and God went, oh no, they've killed my son. Now what? I know. No, that's not what happened. The Holy Spirit was not God's plan B. His coming was always God's plan for the redeemed, for us to live in our redeemed lives. It's been God's eternal plan, not a last minute decision. We can see this. I can prove it because we see it foretold by prophets. Joel chapter 2. 800 years written. 800 years before Pentecost. Joel chapter 2. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men, Chris, old men will dream dreams. Young men, Tawanda, Ashoma, David. Who's missing? Anesu, young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. 800 years before Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, this scripture was quoted just after. We also see it in the book of Ezekiel. 600 years prior to Pentecost, he says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will take out your heart of stone of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my, capital M, spirit, capital S, within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. This was prophesied. This was foretold by the prophets. The Holy Spirit is not plan B. The Holy Spirit was always God's plan. He was introduced by Jesus. Jesus said to his disciples, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. This was foretold by Jesus. The promise of the Father. I'm going to skip through some scriptures. I'm not going to give them. The promise of the Father. He was promised. The Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. And he came. The promise of the Father came. You know what? Earlier on, I was thinking of this. I read this prayer by a guy called Richard Rohr. Never heard of him. But he says this prayer. He says, God for us, we call you Father. God with us, we call you Jesus. God within us, we call you Holy Spirit. So where is he now? Where is the Holy Spirit now? He's in us. He's in us. Jesus, God with us. He's now God in us. Listen to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells, oikeos, in you? God's Holy Spirit is in us. He's in us. And over the next few weeks, we're going to continue to unpack this series. We're going to look at the benefits of being filled with his Holy Spirit. We're going to learn about how we can be led, how we can be taught, how we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit. Why don't you just stand to your feet? I just want to give us a moment. Let's just acknowledge his presence in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, wonderful, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that you indwell your people, that you oikeo us, that you live in us. But Lord, not only that, you give life to our mortal bodies, and you inoikeo us, you influence us for good. So Lord, we just welcome you afresh in our hearts today. Just stretch your arms out, your hands out if you can, just in front of you, just as an act of surrender. Say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Welcome afresh in my heart today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place today. Thank you, Lord, that the same power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us. That you inhabit us. We are your temples. We are your temples, your dwelling place. The dwelling place for God is in us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would do what only you can do. quicken our hearts, quicken our minds. Speak into our hearts. Lord, we don't want to just rush off. We just want to enjoy your presence, Lord. Lord, would you speak to every person here today? Would you touch hearts? Would you touch lives? Would you refresh? Thank you, Lord, for times of refreshing in your presence this week. Lord, I thank you that we can just commit to spending time with you this week. That we will become so aware of your presence. We can become so aware of the fact that you are a person. That you are God. That you are an ever-present help in time of need. That you're in the Old Testament, you're in the Gospels, you're in the Epistles, and now you live in me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us today. Help us this week, Lord, to become sensitive to your promptings, to become so aware of your presence, to become sensitive to your promptings. Hallelujah. Bless your name, Jesus. Wonderful God. Wonderful God. You are wonderful God. We just want to linger in your presence, Lord. We just want to linger in your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You equip us. You empower us. You lead us. You guide us. You comfort us. You help us. You intercede. You're my advocate. You're my comforter. We bless your name, Jesus. Wonderful God. Wonderful, wonderful Holy Spirit. Have your way amongst us, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for lives that have been touched and changed today. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Amanda home. Thank you, Lord. We acknowledge you as the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we give you praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen.